acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
So some of you know that I had a lifetime experience a couple of months ago, actually, going on a pilgrimage with my son. And pilgrimage is almost always sort of a reenactment of the kind of experience that you had in the wilderness that we celebrated today. The exodus, going from one place to another and growing in faith in the process. And one of the things that happened on our pilgrimage, which I will always remember, is related to our epistle of this morning. My son, Robert, who was on the retreat with me, was wearing the cross that I had given him many years ago. Nothing particularly special about it, except when somebody gives you a cross, I guess it becomes special. And I use it for wallpaper on my computer because it is special to us as a family. And he was wearing it on the outside. He was going on this boat from the place of pilgrimage to the mainland. And with us, of course, were many other pilgrims, including some Eastern Orthodox monks, because it was a pilgrimage in the Eastern Orthodox series of monasteries. Well, this Orthodox guy was looking at my son as we were checking things out on this little ferryboat, and looking at his cross and looking like that, you know. And he pointed to him and he said, I've got a real cross. And so he's a real scruffy looking guy, a big green beard, about the same age as my son in his early 40s. He opened up his vestment and he had this, about 2.5 long crucifix. That's a real cross. And of course, what he was trying to say to us was, I'm a real Christian, and you're just one of these kind of tourists coming from someplace else, probably America. You know what I'm getting at? You knew exactly what he was saying. Because Christians do this with each other all the time. You know, if you were a real Christian, you know what I'm getting at. And I just can't remember, yet this guy was just so clear. And into my mind, just popped in, like it was a verse from the epistle this morning. And I remember that proclaiming it to him, so, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And that was all I had to say. And of course, that was the end of the conversation. But I thought, I really think that was the word of the Lord for that day. And ever since then, I've been celebrating the diversity in the church. I've always been attracted to Greek Orthodoxy and Russian Orthodoxy, learned a lot about it, but I'm really still even more an Anglican than I ever was. It's just that there's a uniqueness about other people that always is interested in me. This morning at the 8:00 service, we had a vacationing Lutheran pastor from up the street and his family, because he has lunch with Father Eric on a regular basis in the clergy. After church, I'm going to be going over to hear a presentation at the Coptic Orthodox Church in Ogallala. There's something about the differences that either separate us or actually show us the richness of Christianity. Just like the richness of the church, there are so many different gifts. Every time I come to a different church, I notice that the church, each church has its own flavor and its own giftedness. And as I get acquainted with you, I can see, oh yeah, the diversity of the Spirit is quite remarkable. And just think about that. That's universal. That's the work of God. He has given us His Spirit, but there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now, we might think the denominations are really important, but more important is what God sees. And He sees the beauty of His creation, especially of His church, fragmented as we appear to be. It all depends on how you look at it. It's a question of journey. And we're on this journey to be what God sees, not what we see. And it's not totally visible to us, but somehow it becomes more and more visible as we walk the path. Of course, walking the path of spiritual growth and of the kingdom of God requires what? Food. You have to eat. You have to be nourished for your journey. And that's what the Old Testament reading was about today, and actually the Gospel. In the Gospel, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, and some of those people were left over. Some of the people had stayed behind. They didn't just go back to their lives full, but they were curious. There was something about this relationship that caused them to stay with Jesus and say, well, what is really going on with this guy? And that's how we ended up with the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, which is all about the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he explained it. And if you read that chapter, you see it's very mind-boggling. People have no idea what it means. He causes great controversy and moves a full step closer to being crucified for making these extravagant claims. So that's what's going on in the Gospel. And in the Old Testament reading from Exodus, it's the same story. That life is not just having our needs met, going back home and living the same old life. Life is a pilgrimage. And if we see it, it's always somewhat metaphorically like the redemption in the story of Exodus, where people are taken from bondage across the Red Sea into a place of trial and error before finally coming into the Promised Land. That's the life that we're talking about. We sang about it in several of the hymns of this morning. God be, O thou great Jehovah. We have a whole season of Lent devoted to this spiritual pilgrimage, finally the lifting up of the death and resurrection of Christ, because then it's also our death and resurrection. So here we are, and today what's calling my attention most on this journey to be what God has called us to be probably won't be fulfilled in my lifetime or yours, but we pray for it all the time, that his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's the life of the kingdom we're called to live. And the journey in the kingdom is not a journey that's just about restructuring the past and or being pickled for eternity. That's what I always make you know, that old phrase in the prayer book that you may be taking into this, that your body be preserved as your everlasting life. It's not pickling. It's really not. It's more than likely going to be prodding along and encouraging to move forward. Not to stay what you were, but to see more and more through the love of God what you're becoming and what the world is, because it's seen through the eyes of its Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, our own God. So on this journey, we have to reenact some of these experiences that people have lived through forever. The Exodus experience is a great case in point. You see, the people who walked out of the wilderness, they were already redeemed, they were what some people would say saved, brought through the Red Sea waters, and they were extremely disappointed. You know, we're going to starve to death. It would be nice if we were just back in Egypt. Wow, the Egyptian food that was so good, even though they were slaves in bondage, it was familiar. And you know how hard it is for people to deal with that. It's even that way with being a human being and growing up and eating in a healthy style in a physical way. I remember as a little kid, my mom used to fix us certain foods, and back in the old days, we didn't get a lot of time to negotiate, and at that point, we were supposed to eat everything on our plate, which apparently is why we're all overweight. The clean plate club, she called it. But, you know, she grew up in the Depression, and there wasn't a lot of food. So we weren't supposed to waste anything, and we did. That was a learning, but, you know, wasn't entirely suitable for the life I'm living now, unless you want to be a lawyer. However, one of the things that she said is, you have to eat what I served you. And so one of the things that she served that I just thought was disgusting was turnips. And every time it would turn up on the plate, which wasn't really that often, I would say, oh, I'm not going to eat that. And she said, you have to eat it. It's turnips. She didn't even explain it. What to serve, eat it. And so I did, but I hated it. And so one of the good things about being off of my living my own life as a young adult is that I didn't have to worry about turnips. And then at a certain point along the way, somebody served me some turnips all mashed up with butter on them, just like mashed potatoes. Delicious. And I thought, I've spent all these years eating turnips. You know? And this is something new. It's a new taste. But you know something? I had the turnips very rarely. Why? Because I grew up as a child hating them. Now that's terrible of the journey of faith. Sometimes we don't grow because our past kind of cripples us from growth. Sometimes we develop adolescent tastes or childish tastes that don't really conform to a more adult spiritual taste. I have another story about that from childhood, because this is a very childhood experience. The story of Exodus is about people coming out and being spiritual children, even though they were all grown ups. And they had to grow up spiritually, which is a lifetime experience, obviously. And that's why Jesus calls us all the adopted children of God, no matter what our age is. So anyway, this other story that I wanted to mention to you was from my, from my wife. Our kids, when they were little, were all the time complaining about not liking this, that, or the other, or serve. And my wife had a different method than my mother did. And we didn't have a clean plate club and all that, but she finally devised that you could have a list of the things that you didn't like, and you could add one thing to the list each day, each year on your birthday. And so that worked pretty well. And we always had these lists up on the refrigerator, things you could eat. And it was good because by the time you were 3 years old, then you were able to put three things on your list, and that made you feel good because 1 and 2 year olds, they're too little for the list, right? And they eat whatever they want and spit it out anyway. It's the nature of immaturity, isn't it? It's the nature of being an animal. We love them, but boy, are they immature. And growing up and being a child of God, it's a good thing it doesn't mean spiritually childish, but we can be that too. However, God has provided for this quality of not really wanting what we should be. Yeah, that's true spiritually as well as physically. So anyway, my wife's trick was to post every year the list of things you want. What's interesting how tradition works, because I go to visit my children now, who all have children, who are my grandchildren, and I can read on the refrigerator door the list of things, and I can tell how old they are because how long the list is. They picked up this tradition from my wife. And you'd be surprised at the people in my family that will not eat olives, mushrooms, yuck. You know, various things. Some of them things that you wouldn't think, why would a kid even decide not to eat that? Like rutabagas. I mean, we don't have rutabagas very often, but somehow it's so obnoxious to one of my grandchildren that it's on the list on the refrigerator. But anyway, when I go see that refrigerator, I see a list of people who are growing up as gourmands, I guess that's the word for it. People who are learning how to eat. Well, now here I am, and I'm learning how to lose weight, and of course, all Americans are a little overweight, and you know, I'm still learning, still doing this kind of stuff. Okay, how we eat is like that, but it's also a metaphor of how we eat spiritually. So the people in the Old Testament came out of Egypt, and they weren't happy with the food. They weren't They were starting to live because they had to get rid of their past and move on, just like new Christians do, or young people do, or you learn tricks spiritually that help you to be a child, and all of a sudden you're adolescent, you have no idea how to do that. I remember when I became a parent. Wow, the child was so beautiful, but my goodness, they stay up all night, and they poop in their diapers, I mean, and they spit the food out all the time. My goodness, this parenting thing, it took a while for me to learn how to digest parenthood. So we shouldn't be surprised that that's so much a part of human life that it affects us spiritually. So think about what it is you need to leave behind and still leave behind, even though you've learned to dislike it as a child, in order to move forward. There's always a practical application. Look at your life and see if you can recognize what God is doing there so that you can follow Him on the next steps. The journey of faith is about the future. It accepts the past, but faith is the assurance of things you can't see. There's always some newness that's coming into it. And that means you're going to have to get used to what God provides. And Jesus has taught us to pray, how? Give us, O Lord, our daily bread. Some translations say, our bread for the tomorrow, which means kingdom bread. Give us, Lord, what we need in order to be your children and to live a life of the kingdom on this spiritual journey. It's not to fulfill every human appetite. It's not to do everything the way we would do it if we were in control, because we're really not. It's putting your trust and faith in Christ. And so those who stayed around after the feeding of the 5,000 are like you and me. Okay, Lord, I'm here. I don't see you very well, but I know that you have the real bread, the real food, that you are the real food. I came to the communion today. Why did I come? Because this is the bread that I need in order to walk the journey of faith in the next few days. And so we come to Him. He is the true bread. He is the manna that God supplies. And when we receive that manna, we receive Him in the sacraments until we don't need that anymore. And then we enter the promised land. God has provided for every one of us some personal special thing, some energy, idea that we need to do to live into God's future and to let go of our past. That's the journey of faith. Today we pray that we'll be able to recognize what He's doing and to cooperate with it. It's a simple thing, but as we do, we are transformed. I've been reading a little bit of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and he talks about the transforming process. There are two metaphors that he uses that are very famous. One, he says, when you let the light of God shine in you more and more, you become transfigured by it. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Transfiguration, by the way. And what he meant is the light coming through that window makes the window show up. If it was dark, it would be kind of a muted thing. But the light that comes through the window, you see the light reflected and transformed in the medium that it hits. He uses another metaphor about that transformation, and that is iron. If you take iron, that's a blacksmith idea, I think, because he was in several centuries back. If you take iron and you make it very hot, it's red hot, then it becomes infused with the fire. It becomes part of it. The iron is still iron. The fire is still fire. But the iron becomes flexible. You can beat it and make horseshoes out of it, right? In a way, that's what it's like to walk with faith. It's that more and more, His divine light infuses our human nature, and we are transformed in His likeness. That's the spiritual journey for everybody, no matter what denomination, no matter what age, no matter what century, and so forth. There's another metaphor that St. Bernard uses that I think is interesting. He says that growing in the love of God goes through four stages. The first stage, We love self for self's sake. That's the people that went to the feeding of the 5,000 and went home because they were hungry and they were fed their home. Self for self's sake. That's when you pray to God and say, this is what I want. If I don't get it, then I'm out here. The next stage is loving God not for self's sake, but for God's sake. And the next stage is loving God for God's sake. And then the last stage is loving self for God's sake. It's a growth process. It's a process of more and more receiving the light in ourselves. And so that's what the journey of faith is like. That's the process, and that's why we need to walk it. So let us pray today that as we come to God's altar, we will receive in a full way the invitation that's offered to us. Draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, that you may know and love God, who knows and loves you, and wants to fill you with his presence. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.